Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by UC Santa Cruz, chosen by the National Cancer Institute to launch the Cancer Genomics Hub in the quest to decode cancer. More information available at ucsc.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A film focused on the final days of Oscar Grant, shot dead at an Oakland BART station by a police officer, won top honors at the Sundance Film Festival Awards. Fruitvale earned the Grand Jury Prize and the Audience Award, and the rights have been acquired by the Weinstein Company. Altogether, it's not a bad showing for 26-year-old Ryan Coogler. Fruitvale is the USC Film School Grant's first feature-length film. Gun violence will be the focus of a joint hearing in Sacramento tomorrow as California lawmakers take up a legislative approach to the problem. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim has been exploring gun violence in a special series. Today, she considers the issue from a public health perspective.
Think back to those ads that tried to get you to intervene if a friend who'd been drinking was getting behind the wheel.
When friends don't stop friends from drinking and driving, friends die. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
Public health researchers say this type of awareness-raising campaign aimed at reducing motor vehicle fatalities could also be used to reduce the number of gun deaths and injuries, including suicides. David Hemenway is a professor of health policy at Harvard and director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center.
It's the notion friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends don't let friends who are going through a bad patch have easy access to a gun. If a close friend, you can see, he's just got a divorce, he started drinking, he started talking crazy. Try to figure out a way to get the gun out of the house for a few months till things get better.
Researchers say a couple of pilot programs have tested this concept of raising public awareness and found it to be successful at removing guns, but more testing is needed. If the new strategies are successful, Hemenway says they could be used to fuel demands for better gun safety standards, or at least encourage safer gun storage practices.
We are in a society where we have lots of guns, and for a variety of reasons, we'll always have lots of guns. And so what we want to be able to do is figure out ways to live with our guns. Right now, we are dying with our guns.
Time passes, and you continue to live your life, but it's never the same.
That's Sandra Macias. Her 14-year-old son, Alex Stasenka, was shot dead accidentally by the brother of one of his friends. Macias says the brother was playing with a shotgun he had found in the garage when he pointed it at Alex and pulled the trigger. Though Macias wasn't there when her son was shot 18 years ago, sitting on the couch in her home in the Northern California city of Fairfield, Macias says she knows the moment it happened.
I told you I was at a conference. And I just felt this surge of energy, and I just jumped up out of my chair and walked to the back of the room. And I just felt like something was wrong, but I just didn't know what it was.
While most of the gun debate has centered on banning weapons or high-capacity magazines or controlling other aspects of gun ownership, Hemenway says more research is needed on whether easy access to guns contributes to injuries and deaths.
The CDC is afraid to even say the word guns, let alone do any research in guns, even though this is an enormous public health problem. There's very little money for research out of the Institute for Justice. There's very little money out of foundations, and so we really lack a lot of good research.
But Hemenway is hopeful. President Obama recently directed the Centers for Disease Control to support research in preventing gun violence and clarified that doctors could discuss gun ownership with patients. Hemenway says he's also working with pro-gun groups to see what public health strategies might appeal to gun owners.
Certainly, this is our big opportunity. And so it really behooves us to take advantage of this. We can really do so much better as a country, protecting our children, protecting our young people, than we are currently doing.
And then these were some of the, rather than throw everything away, I collected a bunch of stuff that was left over.
Back at her Fairfield home, Sandra Macias pulls out posters and signs she's made over the years for marches and rallies where she's joined other mothers who have lost children in shootings. Among other things, Macias wants to see stiffer penalties for gun owners who don't use or store their weapons responsibly.
I'm a very angry person. I don't think I was before, and I just, the fact that people can own guns and not be responsible when something like this happens, and my son is dead. My son is gone.
Macias says her son Alex would have turned 33 this year. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
This month, counties across California have been conducting homeless population counts. The idea may seem obvious, but systematic attempts at counting didn't take off until the federal government mandated it in return for housing funds. So in a huge county like Los Angeles, people used to guesstimate there were about 90,000 homeless people. That turned out to be about twice as many as there actually were. John Horn of LA Family Housing is one of 5,000 volunteers helping out with the count this week.
Now we got a pretty solid grasp on it, and that data, you know, really helps you to get a picture of what's happening. The problem is that it's still a huge number, which means that there's still a lot more that has to be done, but at least you have a handle on what the problem is.
It takes L.A. 3 days to conduct its count. Most others do it in one. The results should be out in a few weeks. There's constant friction between the state and local governments over what tax dollars get distributed where. But rarely does the matter lead to a lawsuit. It's even rarer the matter makes it to court. This week, lawyers for California and Orange County go before a judge over a dispute worth tens of millions of dollars. The California Report's L.A. Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has more.
After its historic bankruptcy 20 years ago, Orange County began receiving millions in additional state vehicle license fees to help nurse it back to financial health. Even though the county emerged from bankruptcy years ago, it continued to get millions in enhanced VLFs each year until the state stopped payments 2 years ago as it tried to balance its own books. Orange County retaliated by withholding $73 million in state property taxes that were supposed to go to elementary and high school education and community colleges. California argues that's illegal, and it forced the state to backfill the missing school funds. Now California is suing to get that money back. But Orange County says the action was justified. The county says it did take in more in vehicle license revenue than other counties, but it also got disproportionately less in state education funding to make up the difference. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report for Monday, January 28th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com.